rough with Melody one time, a couple times. But
she did. It didn't even faze her, you know. She just expects stuff like that from me. She's tough, man. Thank you, Jesus. Is that better? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is the Anointed One. That's one of His names. He has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names. But one of His names is Anointed One. And He puts His anointing in each one of us that believe in Him, that give our lives to Him. The person of the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And He gives us anointed ideas. He gives us anointed notions. A notion is an idea. And therefore, how we conduct our life and how we live in the future. They only come from Him. They only come through a relationship with Him, whether it's a personal relationship, personal worship, or corporate worship. That's when He releases anointed notions, anointed ideas. For kingdom-related missions, because He has a call on each one of our lives to be a co-missionary with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, to co-mission with Him, to be married to Him, to have fellowship with Him, to talk to Him, to reason with Him, to reason it out with Him, because He's perfect in all His ways. He knows the future. He's already lived your life for you. And now He wants to live it through you. But you have to check in with the chief cornerstone. If you don't check in with the chief cornerstone, then your building crumbles. Then problems will take you down. Then trials will undermine you to the point where you think God is mad at you. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, like Melody was saying. He loves you. Always will, always thinks of you, dances over you, praises you, talks about you, is proud of you, and you didn't have to do nothing in order for Him to be that way about you, because He's just madly in love with you. So therefore, when you have that kind of love going on the inside of you and through your mind, and that's what you dwell on, then every other relationship is right. Because you already have the foundation set in order. So everything else is right. So if somebody's mad at you or putting you down, it's all right. It doesn't bother me any. It doesn't affect me because I'm right with God. He's right with me. Everything is good. So if someone has a little problem with you, so be it. Because we're not here to impress people. Jesus isn't a respecter of persons. He loves everybody the same. Amen. So that's freedom. Because by His grace through faith, we possess the knowledge of the truth. And therefore, we are in position to receive anointed ideas from God. To be successful in everything that we do. To be a living epistle. Our life can speak louder than words. We're better off demonstrating it through our actions than we are through our speech. Because if we demonstrate it through our actions, then people will start asking us questions, and then we could speak. Don't speak before you act it. Keep your mouth silent. Learn how to be silent. Learn how to be still and know that He's God. It'll pay big dividends in every area of your life. He didn't have to say anything today, and He's paying big dividends over there. He's worshiping God. Do we know what we're doing? Hallelujah. He comes in and hugs me. I don't deserve it. Comes in, puts his head down on my, and just hugs me and loves on me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. So, these anointed ideas are very important. Because if you're not at the right place at the right time, you won't get the anointed ideas. Then you'll just have to depend on your own ideas. And your own ideas are hit and miss. Your own ideas could be hit and miss. You can have this grand idea, go to school for it, pour all your money to it, and find out 20 years down the road you went the wrong way. I know, I've done stuff like that. So God wants us to be able to handle triumph and trial the same. That's a very powerful and productive truth that the person of the Holy Ghost living inside of you wants you to operate in because he lives inside of you. So when triumph and victory is manifest in your life, it's not hard to come to church and worship God. You're riding in your new car, you got a nice house, and you got everything together, and you're victorious, and you're on top. Man, it's easy to come to church and worship God and look at yourself in the mirror and say, yeah. But when you're in a trial, and the bottom has fallen out, and everything that you try to do doesn't work, and you just have to totally trust in Jesus, how do you respond? Is your attitude the same as when you're in triumph, when you're in trial? Because people are watching. They want to see where your faith is at. They want to see if this Jesus is real. And so when we stand in authority, because that's who we are in Christ, we stand in authority, because when we're under authority, then we could be in authority. That's why you're here today. We're all under authority. There's a chain of authority in the kingdom. And we're here because we're proven to the spiritual realm that we're under authority so that we can be in authority. And that's a stable life right there. That's the kind of life that I want to see and gather those kind of people around me. The one that talk a lot and don't show up, I don't really... they don't impress me too much. You'll know who your friends really are in the kingdom when the times get tough and ministry times get tough. You'll see who gathers around you and who sticks around. Because when you're in authority, under authority, then you could be in authority. That's an important, justified position that Jesus Christ has given us, because of what he's done for us on the cross and through his resurrection power and ascension into heaven. He's already made the way for us to be perfect in his sight. See, I don't know Gus over here, but in Jesus' sight, he's perfect. Doesn't matter what he does. Doesn't matter if he believes him or not. Still in his sight, he's perfect because of what Jesus has done for the world, to save the world. So he's loved no matter where he goes or what he does. And Jesus is drawing us to himself through that love. Not through judgment, not through laws, not through rules, through love. Through love. Hallelujah. So these ideas that we get from God, some of us don't use them because they're too big. Some of these ideas are too big. And we're afraid of them, so we go, that's not me. No, I got to forget about that. I live my life through the ideas of God. Every message that I get from God comes through ideas, comes through a word, or comes through a phrase, or comes through his voice that stands out. I know it's not my understanding, and I know that it's not anybody else's because it's just me and him. I could hear it through another person, But it stands out to the point where he wants me to pursue him for that idea and build on it all throughout the week so that he can show me exactly what that idea is all about for me and all about for you, because God has called us to feed his sheep. Around the world right now, there might be 100,000 people listening to this message because he wants us to feed them. And your agreement here today and your resources and your belief system help make that happen. Help make that manifest. Help make your life special and important in the kingdom, because we're changing people's lives. You might not think it, but when you take the ideas of God and allow them to grow your mind and grow your heart, then you'll see how he thinks. You'll understand his viewpoints and what concerns him and what doesn't. And it helps us to have a better thinking pattern, a better understanding of who we are and what he's called us to, because he wants us to walk the same in triumph as we do in a trial. Because when we walk with that attitude and that belief system through a trial, we get through it quicker. You don't have to hang out in that trial. Hallelujah. So those ideas are for us to grab a hold of, to get God's viewpoint on every matter and every situation of our life. When we have God's viewpoint, then we have the victory. Whether we're fighting devils or whether we're on top seeing souls won and people healed, it doesn't matter. It's the same belief system. It's the same presence of God in our lives. When David faced off against a giant, he was confident because of his experience with God. He wasn't afraid. Whether he defeated the lion or he was standing in front of a 9'6" giant, it didn't matter to him. He wasn't worried about anything. He was set in his ways. He was predestined to beat the giant. He got God's viewpoints. He got God's understanding. And God enabled him to see himself the way God saw him, so that he could face off and defeat the giants. That's how we have to defeat the giants that pop up in our life. Hallelujah. We have to be able to troubleshoot right away. Not, well, I'll call you back in a couple days and let you know the answer. No, God has the answer right there. It's right there. Hallelujah. So we could bring a triumphant situation to somebody's life because we understand the heart of God and we hear his voice and we have his ideas. Jesus had every one of the Father's ideas wherever he went. He was without sin because he had his ideals and ideas about everything. His word, his truth, his understanding, his perception. The body of Christ has the most powerful resource in the universe right here. And the Holy Spirit living inside of us, with God's word and the Holy Ghost living inside of us, we can't fail. It's impossible for us to fail. We don't have to think rationally. We can think miraculously. That's how Jesus thinks. We could think miracles. We could think miracles into every given situation. Why not? Why not think that way? Why not think the way God thinks? Why not have the mind of Christ? He says that we have his mind. Do we utilize his mind? We utilize his mind by understanding his ideas. We need ideas to be skillful in everything we do. You need his ideas to have a successful relationship. You need his ideas. You have to think the way he thinks about her, and you have to think the way he thinks about him. Otherwise, you could get a twisted mindset based on feelings and emotions that's not true. And it causes things to fall apart. As soon as we lose sight of Jesus, we lose sight of reality. Because we don't have his ideas, then when we don't have his ideas, there's a void in our mind that the devil could speak into and try to fill. And then that leads us in the wrong direction. He wants to help us to be able to handle triumphant situations and trials that we fall into, because you will fall into trials. The Bible says you will fall into trials. Thank you, Jesus. He wants us to have good spiritual sense. You can have good spiritual sense. This could be the filter that you run all your understanding through. You could filter it out and find out what's truth and what's not truth by filtering it through the Word of God. Then you make your decisions. Well, you can't carry the Bible around with you all the time, but you can eat it to the point where your being is filled already. And then when situations and circumstances come, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with so that you can make a right decision based on the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God. That's how we operate. Hallelujah. So you could face off against anything, anyone, any situation, any circumstance, and have good discernment. You can have a visionary bank in your being that God can show you previously different things that you're going to run into, so that when you run into them, you could have confidence that you have the faith enough to go through them. Amen? That's good spiritual sense. You're not going to find that in self-help books. Some psychiatrist isn't going to tell you that. He wants to know how much money you have, some of them. Doctors aren't going to tell you that. The system of this world wants you to fail. So if people are bird dogs for the system, then they don't care about you. They just care about themselves. And you'll find yourself going around the mountain over and over again because you can't get help that way. You need notable ideas from God. Notable ones that get your attention and show you His way. Then you can walk in His way. Then the path is lit up and you can walk in His way. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You don't have to ask anybody else their opinion. You know that you know. And people will start asking you your opinion because they see something different with your life. Through personal relationship, through personal worship, through corporate worship is where you get these ideas from. Because your focus is in the right place. He's not going to wing an idea your way if you don't even know what the heck it's going to mean. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to take your rightful seat and feed off of His word, feed off of His anointing week after week after week after week. This lady's here first thing. She's sitting, waiting, ready. She's ready. So we can have discernment. The future can be obvious to us. We don't have to wander and guess. We can have a structure in our life from the kingdom of heaven to outline what we can expect and how we could think and what authority that we can operate in and how we can get the job done for Him. So discernment is important. God's viewpoints are important. Good spiritual sense is important. Prophetic vision is important, because without prophetic vision, God's people perish. You have to have a healthy source of prophetic vision in order to get to the other side. Because sometimes we see in part, but we still need to get to the other side. So when Jesus gets in the boat and says we're going to get to the other side and goes to sleep, that's all we need. That's it. That's all the information we need. No matter what the devil throws at us, that's all the information we need, so don't make it complicated. Don't go read 10 books to find out that little bit of information. Throw them out, please. Because when you fill your head with book knowledge, then the ideas of God run into a brick wall. Run into a brick wall. So we want our faith to be strong. Let's look at Romans 8. Because through triumph, we can operate through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, self-control. Through a trial, we can operate through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The only reason why you would handle a situation that's triumphant different than you would a trial is if you're not tight with God. Because trials are sometimes platforms and stepping stones for you to be triumphant. And you have to learn that process. If you don't learn that process, you're not learning the ways of the kingdom. And the warfare that we have to face off against and the battles that we have to face. Pastor Tony had to face a battle where he was dizzy and he couldn't walk and he was sick to his stomach. And you think he wanted to go to the hospital? He didn't really want to go. Probably his wife wanted him to go, and he honored that. Because she might have been a little upset or worried, so he went. I'm just speculating because I know him pretty good. And so, he had to deal with that. He had to deal with work. He had to deal with stuff. He had to deal with, and he's going. He's not going to stop. The green light is there for him to go. So whether he's a little off balance, you know, I went to a job with him, and he got out of the car, and he's like this out of the car. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. Let me, oh, I turned my head too fast. That's how he was before he left. Oh, I'm all right. Don't worry about it. You sure you're all right? He said, yeah, I'm all right. Romans 8:31. So he's got the green light. He goes. He's not too concerned about himself. He's concerned about his wife. How concerned is he about the business, Lynn? It's on the back burner to him, right? It's on your front burner, his back burner. So, the man's single focus, and he goes, and so that's a good thing for us because we can learn from that. We can learn from that. Things are not as bad as they seem to be. I just want to let you know right now. Things are not as bad as they seem to be. The devil tries to magnify the negativity in every situation to try to freeze you right where you're at and not move forward. Right? Romans 8:31. I'm giving you guys a lot of information today. You might know it, you might not, but it'll come back. You're going to use it someday. Hallelujah. I was going to do a cartwheel for Pastor Tony. I think I have to do it. Because I had said to him, you doing any cartwheels? After I saw him stumble out of the car, he says, well, Gene, I've never done a cartwheel before. I said, well, I've said, well, I've done a couple at church. He says, will you do one for me Sunday? I said, yeah, I'll do one for you. And then he sent the text, make sure you do that cartwheel for me. Well, it's when God gives me the green light. I'm just letting you know. I'm raising your excitement here. Because I'm going to do it this way. I'm lefty, so if I fall, I'm going to hit Len over there. I haven't missed him yet. So Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yes, ma'am. So he, not with him, also freely give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And then this song Melody sang this morning, who I am, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Daddy's got our back. Right? My father would have beat your butt if you ever put a hand on me. He was a tough, big guy that was old school. I knew that. I walked confident around. I was a wise guy because of it, but I knew that he... Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Colossians 2. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. That helps me every day. Hallelujah. 2 Colossians 15. So Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Thank you, Lord. When we have his ideas, when the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gives us ideas, and we siphon everything through the Word of God, we can't go wrong, because then we have God's viewpoint, and he's a now God. His kingdom is at hand, so everything we need is available for us if we stay focused on him. Let's look at Colossians 3. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The ideas come through that mindset. When nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, when those ideas come, and we know he's backing us up, then that catapults our faith forward for the prize in Christ Jesus, for the will of God in our lives. Then we can handle every given situation triumphantly. And it's just a matter of time before a trial turns into a triumph. And then we gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding through that. So when our brother or sister has a trial they're going through, then we can testify of what God has already done in our life. And then their faith can be exploded into the point of victory and success in their life. So we're always discipling someone or somebody or some city or some nation we are discipling. At Tony's discipling nations right now. When he gets to the pastors and has pastors' conferences, he's discipling that nation because they're the future of the nation. That's our pastor, Tony. I don't know if you're going to be here next week, but he will. Well, he might not be here either. Oh, the largest one, he's going to the... Thank you, Lord. So sometimes, remember I told you last week that we have to sometimes take a burden, maybe for a whole nation. Because if the whole nation is out of balance, and Pastor Tony is the apostle going to that nation, sometimes he has to feel and go through things in order to get God's perspective and clarity on it so that he could deliver it to the nation. That's how big things are and the importance of us receiving and understanding the will of God. I got to do it. Oh, he's in my way. I was going to do it. Wasn't the right time. Thank you, Lord. Can you come on this side, buddy? Can you come over here? I got to borrow one of your tissues here. It's getting hot up here. So in order for, you know, Tony wanted me to bring some balance into this thing with a cartwheel. So... No, you don't have to pray. It's a piece of cake. Not anymore. You don't have to pray. Let's look at Colossians 3. Oh, I just read that, didn't I? That was 3:1. Let's look at 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Ideas are going to come through that heart. You're going to know those ideas when you can see them wrapped in this attitude. When you see the ideas of God wrapped through mercy and kindness and humility and meekness, you know they're coming from Him, because that's the kind of fruit that they're going to produce. Hallelujah. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. So let's say you two are Christians. I don't really know if you're not or you are. But if you don't learn how to forgive one another, then you're probably not going to like one another. Because the devil's slick. He's going to make you think bad things about her, and he's going to make you think bad things about him, and they're not even true. And then if you get mad at him, he's going to look at you and say, what is wrong with her? And you didn't even do anything, and you didn't either. So you have to learn how to forgive one another. You have to learn how to be merciful and kind and humble towards one another, forgiving one another. Really, put in your heart forgiveness before you even wake up in the morning. I assume you're a girlfriend and boyfriend, right? Okay. And this way, if she does something you don't like, you forgave her anyway. So you could operate and just forgive her like nothing even happened. And same with you to him. Just think that way. Have that idea in your mind that you're already prepared, because are you perfect? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were, but maybe you're not. So he's going to do something wrong eventually. And you look almost perfect, but you're not perfect. So she's going to do something that you don't like. But if you already have that heart of forgiveness, it doesn't matter anymore. Then a root of bitterness can't grow in between your relationship. Amen? See, we're tight right here, me and him. We never had a fight in our life. He's my buddy right here. He helps me preach. He hugs on me. It's the best hug I had all week today, buddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the idea of the fact that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, which means that we are an imitator of our teacher. Now, your teacher's about to do a cartwheel. So if you want to do it after me, you just imitate me when I'm done, all right? That's what a disciple does. I really put some pressure on myself today. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know. No, I'm not too far off of that. But I think my mother did her last cartwheel at 58. So I will have the family world record after this one. I did one up here 3 years ago, but that was the last one. Didn't I do about 3 years ago? Oh, hallelujah. I had hair back then. You know, I could still, yeah, it might be. I still have hair, but I got to give it the Trump swirl to, you know, make it look. Hallelujah. That's what my daughter's boyfriend said. I came to dinner one night with him, and he goes, "Man, the Trump swirl's looking good." I said, "Oh, man." After that, it came off real quick. Oh, God, thank you. He hit me hard with that one. I can't stand that guy's hair, but I was no way going to be linked to that. Help me, Len. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to do it. There ain't no doubt about that. You know, Proverbs is a good book. You ever read the book of Proverbs? I'm just going to believe that they're already, you know, they can receive this stuff, so, you know. Read the book of Proverbs to each other. You know, just bounce it back and forth. It's God's wisdom, you know. And he could teach you a lot of things about, you know, how you live your life. And, you know, Proverbs 23:7, you don't have to turn there. I wrote it down here. So as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So how you think in your heart is going to be how you're going to behave like a man. Same with you as a woman. Same with Don. How you believe in your heart is what you're going to act out and carry out into life. So he is. So talking about the ideas of God, when we, because our heart has eyes. So when you take these ideas and you see them and you plant them in your heart and they bear good fruit, based on the will of God, then you're really doing something. And if you do that on a consistent basis, you'll see things happen in your life. And here's another Proverbs. Proverbs 23:12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. That sounds pretty reasonable, right? And so I once heard a man say that he read Proverbs every day for 7 years, and because of Proverbs, he was able to have the wisdom to become a millionaire. Because he applied all these principles to his life, his job, his understanding, how he treated people, how he treated customers, how he, you know, ran his business on a, you know, the way God would, according to his heart, and that helped him to gain wealth. Because without the eyes to see, you won't have the ears to hear because you don't won't know what you're listening for. You have to have the eyes to see so that God could fill your ears with his ideas and then you can have the vision to carry them out. That's what Pastor Tony does. That's how he learned, and you know, he had a vision, and then God spoke into his ear sockets, his spiritual ears, so that he can apply them to his faith and then allow his faith to take him to the next level. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Is it all right, Don? Smooth? Okay. No. I just had the idea. I'm living the word that I'm preaching today. I had the idea. It came before, but he was in the way. So the kingdom sight gives you the ears to hear the word of God, and then the faith he's already given us that we activate by our belief puts us into the center of his will. And then once we get into the center of his will, we don't want to leave that place, right? We don't want to leave that place. So this vision gives you the ability to behold the Lord. And that's very important information. Because whether you're in the office and you're beholding the Lord, then everything's going to fall into place. If you're in the classroom and you behold the Lord, then you're going to have things to teach your children that you never thought you would be able to teach. When Taylor beholds the Lord, then she's going to have a different understanding when she walks through her day, and she's going to be able to be kind, humble, meek, patient, be joyful. But that is a supernatural ability, to behold the Lord, to see him in everything is beholding the Lord. See him in everything. That is a very important perspective and perception that we need to have in our lives in order for us to be mentally stable in a world that's fallen apart. Mentally stable is very important. Because things, when they get thrown at you, when God talks about the evil day and things get thrown at you, you have to be able to stand your ground, not shoot somebody, but to stand your ground and shoot at the devil. Make sure he's out of the way, and then you can move forward with a good perception, good mental stability, good clarity of understanding, so that your faith isn't hampered in any way. Because the devil's after your faith. He doesn't like your faith. He doesn't like what God has put inside of you. You're a threat to him. You're a whistleblower, exposing him. He doesn't like it. He's very uncomfortable. So don't allow his uncomfortable, to get on you and make you feel his uncomfortableness. Because then that throws you off. That throws you off. Because you have to have a positive understanding about everything that you face off. It can't be negative. It can't be the glass half empty perspective. It even can't be the glass half full. It has to be a full glass, overflowing. It has to be an overflowing glass that enables you to foresee the future through the ideas of God. When you can see, it opens up your ears to hear. And now you are walking simultaneously with the Holy Spirit and with his will, being a disciple now to disciple others, because if you're not discipling others, then you're not taking your discipleship and all your training that God has given you and imparting it to another one of his children that need to grow in his love and understanding. So don't get so busy with your life that you can't disciple people. Leave an opening there so you could disciple people. Otherwise, you're, number one, your life isn't going to be fulfilling. When you sit down and you're in bed and you're thinking about your life, it's very fulfilling when you're relaying information about God and discipling and praying for people and being that mouthpiece, activating the Word of God in other people's lives. It makes you feel good about, you know, why you're here. That brings importance into your life. We don't want to lose sight of that, because winning souls is a supernatural ability. Whether you're triumphant or whether you're in a trial, you could still win souls. You can't wait until you feel good to win a soul. You can't wait till you feel good to be nice to Taylor. You can't wait till you feel good in order to, you know, give a pastor the compliment about his cartwheel. You know? Thank you. Thanks. I got a little cramp in my butt cheek, but it's gone now. It's gone. That last little kick there. So 59, I still got it, Len. I'll be doing them well after 60, buddy. Hallelujah. That's all that hard work you make me do. I'm in shape in order to do them. You were there. I saw you. You didn't see me do the cartwheel? I ain't doing another one. I love you, but I don't know if I love you that much, Doc. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray, okay? Thank you, Lord. You guys have been good. I've been pecking on you a little bit today, but you're taking it. Thank you, Jesus. So we have to guard against unbelief. I don't want unbelief to ever interfere with your life, both of you, because you're very valuable to God. I didn't get saved until I was 28 years old. 28 years old. And so I made a lot of mistakes. How old are you guys? 16, 17. I was very unstable. Good athlete, good looking, maybe not now, but I was good looking back then. Popular, all the, you know. I got best body in high school. And so, you know. But I didn't know how to put life together. And so I had to make a lot of mistakes from 16 and 17 until I was 28. That almost killed me. Because I lived in the fast lane, doing, you know, stuff that... And I'm not saying you're like that, but I don't want unbelief where you have to wait till you're 28 or something tough in your life happens where you look up to God and say, save me, I can't do this without you, when you can do it now. So when you receive Jesus, all you do is you open up your heart and you believe him that he's God. He's the Son of God, but he's God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you open up your heart to him and you allow him to be in control of your life, if that's what you want. It's up to you. He gives you a choice. You can say yes to him, or you could say no to him and try to figure all this out on your own. and find out, like I did when I was 28, that, man, I wish somebody told me about Jesus. No one ever told me about him. Well, my father kept me from church, but nobody ever sat down and told me about Jesus. So I had to wait for my marriage when it first started to hit rock bottom where we couldn't stand each other until Billy Graham was on TV talking about marriage and talking about giving your life to Jesus. He forgives you for all your sins. He gives you a new life. He'll give you love for your wife. Are you having problems with your wife right now? I'm like, yeah. And he prayed, and I prayed with him. I just prayed with him. I didn't even know what I was praying. But I saw my need for Jesus, and I prayed with him and asked Jesus to come into my life, to take over my life, because I was not making good choices, and I didn't want to hurt anybody. And so I prayed. I asked him into my life. And in a matter of 6 months to a year, my marriage was completely turned around. I was a different person. My wife and I had a tremendous relationship. I saw God work miracles in my life, change my heart. And now I love to brag about Jesus. So I'm going to pray. If you guys want to pray with me, you can do that. It's between you and God. So let's pray. Father God, if you want to repeat after me in your heart, repeat after me. I know you made me. You say you have a plan for my life. Well, I want to believe you for it today. So today, I want to give you my life, Jesus. I give you my life. I'm going to trust you with my life. You say you're God. I really don't know for sure, but nobody else ever said they're God, but you do, so I'm going to believe you, Jesus. So I open my heart up to you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead, and I believe that you're in heaven, and you've made a place for me in heaven, and I want all that you did for me to be true in my life. So I give you my life. No strings attached. Take my life. I receive your life. And we're going to go from this day forth together forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we thank you, Lord. I thank you that you got my attention and many people in this room's attention, so that we can make a right choice. And that is the most right choice that you can ever make. And we thank you for saving us. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you for speaking to us today. And we just give you all the praise and glory for what you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do. And we go forth from this place today blessed and highly favored in everything that we do. In Jesus.